Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it. Welcome to another episode of TV I Say with Ashley Ray. We had to take a little break to talk about all the things happening, canceled shows, the Emmys, Traitors is back. But you know, we took a little detour, had a good time doing that, had to come back to you with part two of my talk with Jason Mantzoukas, of course. We talked about so much TV. It couldn't fit in one episode. So we got two parts. This is the second part. I hope you enjoy it. We talk about so much. You're going to learn about 80 new shows you didn't even know about. Yeah, come on. And yeah, this is the part where we talk about the fan cam thing. So you're going to want to listen. Check it out.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, so we're getting into
half hours.
Right? Let's go.
Live action. The first on my list, I want to share Extraordinary on Hulu.
It's on my list.
Right? It was so
It's on
good.
My list.
No one
I
talked
it was
about
it.
So funny. It's about this world where people get powers, I think, when they turn 21 or something. And then this one girl who does not get her powers and how she deals with that. And the concept originally, I was kind of like, haven't we seen this? Haven't we seen teens get powers? No, it is. It's just so funny. This would have been a hit on NBC. Like,
yes. And it's the kind of, it's such a good use of superhero tropes because it's a world in which everybody has some sort of power.
Yeah.
You know, they can channel the dead. They've got telekinesis. They can fly. But everybody has some sort of power, so much so that it is, it's a coming of age story for a woman whose central struggle is she does not have anything that makes her special, you know, and what it is to be going through the world like that. And I thought it was a great story because it's got real jokes. It's very funny. But then it's at its heart, like it's a real hard story of becoming okay with yourself, you know, self-discovery and, you know, all of this stuff that I felt like was really interesting to bake into an absurd, like, silly show.
Yeah.
It's a sitcom. It's a British sitcom.
Oh, yeah,
sitcom,
and most of the humor comes from people who cannot control their powers, who...
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil too much, but she has this incredible cat in the show that just provides the best twist.
Incredible. Incredible
stuff. The cliffhangers
stuff
in each episode are so, so good. And I thought this and would like, be on the top of everyone's best of the year list.
Yes.
Nobody talked about it.
But like the idea that like, you know, there's this is I'm not you know, I don't think you I, you can't really spoil comedies in that way.
Yeah.
But the main character, you know, is having such trouble and is such a self-destructive force. But and she's struggling really to make her way through life. And then those heartbreaking scenes where her best friend and roommate, her power is that she can channel the dead. And that the young woman who is the central character, the main character, has these heartbreaking conversations with her father who has passed away.
Yeah.
Through her, through the voice of her best friend. So the scenes between her and her father, as played by her friend, are
so
wonderful.
Good. Just had me like sobbing and just
yeah.
And there's so many twists. Luckily, that was renewed, so we should be getting another
good.
Season.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Great.
But it's a Hulu renewal. You can't always trust those. Disney will just come through and be like, actually, we don't want this on our...
That show... Because a lot of the shows on my list are also British. But they are, I feel like, licensed. Is Extraordinary only a Hulu show? Is it not a Channel 4 show?
So I believe it's a Channel 4 show, but in America, we only get it through Hulu.
Got it, okay.
And then everywhere else, well, outside of Britain, it is a Disney Plus show.
Sure, yeah, because Hulu doesn't exist internationally.
Yeah, so that makes it more confusing because a lot of the times they'll be like, oh, it's a good Hulu show, but does it make sense for Disney Plus? I would say this is a show that absolutely makes sense for Disney.
Oh, this is a home run.
Yeah.
This is a home run now.
Yeah.
I think this should be, and to your point earlier, this is the kind of show, there's a bunch of shows on my list that I feel like, and I think we said something similar when we were talking last about Primo.
Oh, yeah.
The Shea Serrano show, Mike Shore produced Shea Serrano show Primo, which is just
on
such
my
a
list.
It's on my list. I love that. Great work. On my list, and I know we talked about it the last time we spoke, but I wanted to shout it out again because everybody should be hyping Primo.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic show. And to your point earlier, this should be what a network TV show is. A network lineup of TV shows should be Primo, should be Extraordinary, should be Killing It, Colin from Accounts.
Yeah. Oh, Colin from Accounts.
Did you watch Colin from Accounts?
Yes, so good.
I fucking loved this show.
And it's,
this is the kind of show that should be everywhere. It should be, you know, like, the problem that network TV has now is the guidelines are so rigid that, like, a show that, yes, you know, like Colin from Accounts, a wonderful Australian sitcom that's like a romantic comedy in its kind of larger style, but it's just a balls out funny show, but it has cursing, it's got a stray boob in it, you know, and it's like that's exactly the kind of thing that would keep it off of an NBC or a Fox or an ABC or something like that. But it's absolutely a show that has complete universal appeal. In fact, it's a massive hit in the UK. Colin from Accounts is
a huge hit. And here I'm like begging people to watch it. And they're like, I don't even know where to find it. Blah, blah, blah. And it's
exactly.
Like, oh, there's all these apps.
Yeah. But these are all shows that I feel like would thrive on a platform that showed that gave them a much wider audience.
Yeah, because I mean, right now it feels like network, like you said, it's so rigid. They don't want to take swings. They don't want to have new kind of experimental formats. It just feels like we've gone backwards. Like we are
far
away from the 30 Rocks and Communities that we used to have, and now everything is like such a standard
one of the
sitcom.
Yeah. Everything is, there's nothing interesting or inventive. It's just boring. You know, it's boring stuff, especially the comedies are boring. The 1 hour dramas, on the rare occasion that you have a found that you're obsessed
and
with.
And how many shows have someone kidnapping their own kidnapper? Yeah. Not many.
Or if the Kings are going to make something, it's going to have a unique point of view or something like that. I'm very, very, one of my most looked forward to series of the new year is the Elsbeth Tassioni spinoff show from the character from the Good Wife universe and the Good Fight universe. That starts in February. Couldn't be more excited. But those shows are so few and far between, and the schedules on these networks are full of just garbage.
Yeah.
And they could have all these other shows if they were just like, it's okay if people hear the word asshole.
Right.
It's okay if people say this shit sucks.
Yeah.
In a TV show that's on at 9.
At 9. And also, you know, most people are streaming it now. It's fine. They're going to watch it next day on Hulu at whatever, 8 p.m., like whenever they want.
It's ridiculous.
Let them swear. It's fine. Because
it's absurd. At this point, it's absurd that we have these kinds of rules.
Yeah, because I was really trying to include some network shows on my list. You know, the
same.
People know I defend the network sitcom.
I love
them. When they're good, they're good. And the closest I could get on my list was Not Dead Yet on ABC.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
It's
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, it's I think her name is Gina Hernand. No, yeah, Gina Rodriguez.
Yeah, so
she plays this woman who like hits her head and suddenly she can see ghosts. And she, you know, she writes obituaries for the local paper. So every time she's assigned an obituary, she can see that person's ghost. And then like through the week, she like helps them figure out whatever is keeping them from going to heaven or whatever.
Got it. That's a good,
it's fun.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's a setup that sounds like in a good way, it could be great. But in a way that feels too networky and safe, it wouldn't be very interesting.
Exactly.
And that's the kind of thing that if we were pitching it as like, oh, there's a show from the UK about a woman, you know, or it's that you can break it down. I'll just use the actual show example. The British version of the show Ghosts,
yeah.
I love.
Love.
And the American version of Ghosts is fine.
It's fine.
Good.
It's very sitcom.
But
it
doesn't have the bite and the edge that the British show does. It doesn't make the kind of jokes that I think the British show does that are stronger, funnier as a result. It's just a little safer.
And that's what Not Dead Yet feels like. It feels like their answer to the American ghost. Like they were like, oh, we need a show with ghosts and nice people. So they made their version. But I was struggling. So what else is on your list? I shared Extraordinary. What do you got?
We talked about Primo, but I do want to shout it out. I thought it was absolutely fantastic and absolutely should be on a network show. It's on Freevee. It should be a network show. Killing It, I mentioned season two of Killing It came out finally. Craig Robinson, Claudia O'Doherty, the guest stars are great this season.
Good.
The show is fantastic. You know, Luke Del Tredici show, just great. Dan Gore producing, just great. The Brooklyn Nine-Nine team. I'll shout out Digman.
Yes.
As another animated,
that was an animated show
from
I
Brooklyn
had on
Nine-Nine
my list.
Team. Yep.
I loved Digman.
Yep. Neil Campbell show with Andy Samberg, absolutely terrific kind of riff on a Indiana Jones National Treasure kind
jam-packed
of
jam-packed with jokes. It was back-to-back jokes, and it was
just
it's a return to form. It's on Comedy Central, so if you haven't watched it, it's because you probably don't know how to watch Comedy Central
I
anymore.
I think it's on something now. I think you can now stream it somewhere.
Probably the Paramount app. I'm going to guess
Paramount because of Comedy Central, Viacom. Yeah. But I thought that show was so stupid and funny. Just, it is, like you said, just jokes. And it is very funny.
Yeah, you can just tell Andy Samberg is having the time of his life. And it's so good.
And Mitra Juhari's on it, and the supporting cast is really great. It's a great show. I really enjoyed it. But other live-action half hours I'll shout out. There's a couple of other British shows that I want to mention. I mentioned the Australian show Colin from Accounts. Absolutely dynamite show. I can't recommend it enough. Extraordinary, we talked about. The last season of Starstruck has aired. Rose Matafeo's phenomenal British rom-com.
And it made me so angry, the end of the show, but I accept it.
I do too. I loved it. I thought it was so good. I've loved every season of that show.
I loved every season. It was the ending that I knew was right, but I just didn't want it. I didn't want it to end. I was like, come on.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I want to shout out another British show called Dead Pixels. Have you watched this at all?
No, but I've heard about it.
It's terrific. This is something I've only just recently found out and started watching. So I'm only mostly through the first season. There's two seasons that are up. And it's a blast. I don't even want to get into it too much just because I just want to blanket recommend it. It is about young people who are living their lives inside of a fantasy World of Warcraft kind of game.
Oh, I would love this, yeah.
And how much their lives inside the game are what they care about and how much that means their lives outside of the game are deteriorating. It's the juxtaposition of the interior life of the game and the juxtaposition of how their lives actually are being lived outside. And it's very, very funny.
Oh, I would love
it. And also, in that way that we're talking about, very sad. Like, moments of true heartbreak that you're like, oh, don't say that. Or, oh, don't do that. You know, it's very good. I'm loving it. I think it's absolutely hilarious. And then true moments of like despair and like, oh, catch your breath. Like, no, don't do that. You know, but that feeling of like, what is it to? It speaks to how we live bifurcated lives, being lived as these personas and people online, and then who we are in reality. And I think it pokes at that really interestingly.
Okay. I got so many things on my list now.
Oh, good. Oh, you know what I'm going to shout out? Because another show that's ending, one of my absolute favorite shows that I know we've talked about, but I will shout out The End of Letterkenny is here.
Yes.
Season 12 has just come out.
Yeah, it just came out.
A blast. Like, truly a show that over the course of 10 seasons is so funny and so silly and so smart. A show that revels in, I was saying, like, nobody cares more about inserting long fist fights and long dance sequences,
yeah.
More than Jared Kiso, who writes and directs most of Letterkenny.
Yeah.
Like, episodes will just have, they'll stop down for like a 3-minute fight scene, or a 3-minute, like, hugely choreographed dance sequence to an overwhelming soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly music just swells.
And you're like,
and
okay.
For 2 minutes, people are just dancing. It's incredible. The show is, and then the show is also just wall-to-wall jokes. So funny, so silly. I love it. And then I will also shout out, because it's related, the spinoff show called Shorzy.
Yes.
Both of these shows are on Hulu. Netflix is, not Netflix, but Letterkenny, rather, is a, you know, week to week, you know, every week is a different story. It's very slight. It feels almost like you're watching like an It's Always Sunny or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a group of
Trailer
people
Park Boys
in
ass.
A town. Yes, in a town, and you're getting that week's story. Southside is another one that feels very similar. You're popping into these different collections of people, and sometimes they overlap this way, sometimes they overlap that way. And it's interesting. Different pairings of characters yield different story types. Anyway, it's great. But Shorzy is a narrative, is a forward moving narrative about an adult league, adult hockey league, and a local team of shitheads who are trying to get the championship.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
John Gabris, when he was on the show, he was recommending this one to me. He was like, you would really like it if you like Letterkenny. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been telling anybody I can to watch Shorzy, because it's just as funny and outrageous as Letterkenny and fucking balls to the wall nuts. There's great action stuff because it's hockey and stuff. There's a lot of fights on this show as well. But there's what was really surprising for me was how heartfelt the storyline is in a kind of sports way. In a, like, I'm rooting for them to win. I want them to win.
Yeah.
You know, and like caring about it like the way that I care about the Wrexham team on that documentary series about the Wrexham soccer
which
team.
Did manage to,
you know what I mean?
In. It really did.
I watch every episode of it, you know, and I don't care about sports.
Not
I don't
at all.
Follow sports. Great stories, though. Great characters, great stories. Shorzy gets you on a heart level in a way that Letterkenny, I don't even think, is ever trying to get you. You know, Letterkenny is really just like, let's keep going. Let's keep, what about this? What about that? And Shorzy is like, no, what if they cry? And what does that mean? What if they want to win? What does it mean to decide, I'm going to try?
Ooh.
You know, and how do you get people who have pretty much given up or who are dicks and fucking assholes? What happens if they decide they want to try for real and put some skin in the game?
Okay.
Anyway,
yeah. I got
Shorzy
watch
is,
this.
I think you'll like it. And then I'll shout out, because we've talked about them before, season 2 of This Fool came out this year.
I had This Fool on my list.
Great.
Just got stronger
great.
And stronger. It was so good. And I don't think we've heard about a renewal, which makes me kind of afraid.
Very worried.
Very
worried.
It's just,
I feel like,
such a good cast and the writing. Chris Estrada is just so, so good.
I mean, he's fantastic. We talked about this last time, but Imperioli is dynamite. Yeah. It's got a great bench. Everybody in the family is fantastic. Everybody they bring in is great. It's great storytelling, but it's great like family sitcom storytelling, but it's also just funny. It's jokes. Another show that should be on ABC, you know, Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We should just be watching. Everybody should be watching this fool.
Yeah.
Also, another show that I was shocked didn't get the hype. Ooh. That I for sure thought it would prior to and then afterwards, because I thought it was a great season, was the, you know, 10 years later surprise season 3 of Party Down.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That one, that in the Clone High reboots, I was like, everybody, we fought so hard to get Party Down back.
And everybody was kind of
okay. And it was so funny. It was so good.
It was,
funny. Just on par with the
original. I thought Jennifer Garner. Yes, Jennifer Garner was a great addition. A show that can survive. Some people aren't there now. Some people are back. Bah, bah, bah. I loved it. I thought it was
incredible. And people just kind of were like, oh, yeah, that's bad. But I think it's also hard to get the star shows. People just do not have access to stars. But
this is where this is the thesis of everything that we're talking about, is that there are all these great shows, The Gold, Party Down, you know, some of these British shows are hard to come by, but you know, like a lot of these shows, people aren't watching not because they don't like it or because they've sampled it and it's not for them, but simply because they're unaware it exists because they don't have that
platform,
that service.
Or they just,
and
they're not getting it in their algorithm.
That's a disservice to this stuff because, these shows should have been massive. Yeah. You know, or could have been. I mean, I'm not saying massive.
Like they would have,
you know,
followers.
Oh my God.
There are things that people.
Oh, these would be popular shows.
Yeah, like back in the
and
day,
the reality
the AV Club
is,
would have written about these every week.
Exact. Perfect. Perfect. They would be the comedy cultural zeitgeist.
Yes.
This Fool, Party Down. These would be big shows. And we wouldn't be walking into award season right now with like every nominated half hour is in fact a drama. Is a 30-minute drama, an
incredible drama,
30-minute drama.
But it's a drama, let's be real.
It's a drama. These are not comedies. I'm sorry, and I love these
love
shows.
Them,
they're,
but
not
they're not
comedies. Like, with the exception of Abbott Elementary.
Yeah, Abbott Elementary, true comedy, and I love that they're finally getting recognized and bringing back the network sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought we'd see more. I was like, what?
I know.
But then, you know, the strike slowed things down. So I think, you know, some of what I'm seeing in the press, I'm excited about what's happening with network TV. But there's just so much. Another show.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. Another one I wanted to highlight, Platonic on Apple TV.
Oh, yeah. Great.
It was
Go.
Just such a beautiful little show. My favorite person in it was Guy Branum, who is an amazing comic.
Funny.
And he took this just like small side role and just some of the best jokes and moments just come from his character, like in this office interacting with like his straight friend.
That's another.
And I think it got kind of overshadowed because of Shrinking. That was like Apple TV's kind of big focus and it got all the nominations. But Platonic got renewed. It was a good time. I was like, this is Seth Rogen, people. Why aren't you talking about it?
That's the thing. Well, that gets back to, I feel like the what we're talking about is, I think so few people have Apple TV first.
Yeah.
For, Apple TV Plus. I'm sorry, the service, not the platform. You know, not the device. You know, so I don't think people know that Platonic exists.
Yeah, they don't.
I think there is an enormous amount of people who don't know that there is a Seth Rogen series. You know, that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, that is a funny, fun. Series about like that, a series about characters, friendship, romance, that's stuff that people would want to be into with recognizable names and faces that they are just like, I don't know that
it's
that's
not
there.
That. And like, if this had been an HBO Sunday, again, it would have been probably like a hit, like Bored to Death or something, would have ran for like three seasons. But instead, people are just like, oh, yeah, that's Apple TV thing,
whatever.
Okay.
Whatever.
Which,
yeah.
Do you do For All Mankind? Do you watch that?
I'm not a For All Mankind person.
Never mind.
But I mean, only because I never started it. I know people, this was the way it was explained to me. Somebody said season one, you don't have to watch. Season two is where it starts cooking. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I've never done that in my life.
Told you the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Season one and season two are the only seasons worth watching.
Oh,
season one, incredible. Season two, even better. And then it just goes off the rails after that.
Got it. Okay.
But the finale just happened this week. So
that's
people
right.
were asking yep. about it. You know, that show went so off the rails. I don't know why they spent an entire finale thinking I cared where a space rock asteroid goes. Huh. But that's all I have to say about it is sorry, guys.
Okay. So it's I don't need to start it.
No, not really, honestly.
That's,
I mean,
okay.
the first
okay.
two
no,
seasons
that's good
are
to know.
Really, really good. But it just
did
yeah.
you watch here's another because I've watched almost nothing on Apple, oh. right? Slow Horses is
have
my
you done Severance?
Number one. Yes, okay. I did yeah. Severance. You know what? And so much so that I forgot that was.
Well, I mean, it was spent forever now.
But
yeah.
yes, that was the big show. Yes, you're right. You're right. But so much so that I did not watch a show that I think I'm going to like, but I'm going to ask you, did you watch and or what did you think of Silo?
Ooh, okay. I actually just started Silo.
And
I've been liking it, but I think
okay,
I'm just
great.
Kind of,
I'm gonna
yeah,
start
it's
it.
Good, but I'm afraid because I did For All Mankind and felt the same way where I was
yeah.
like, oh, this is strong. I'm really liking this.
Yep.
And I'm just like, I don't know if they can maintain this premise for as long as they need
yeah.
to.
Yeah, that's what I'm a little worried about, too. But all right. And how about the Godzilla show with Kurt Russell?
I actually just started that yesterday because it started playing after I finished For All Mankind. And I watched like the first episode and was like, you know what? I'm kind of into this. I was like,
oh, good. Okay.
It was one where
because I haven't watched any of it. And but it is one of those things that every time I've seen anything about it, or I've heard a couple of podcasts talk about it. They positive,
yeah.
like that. It's they've liked it, so I might
but it's
start.
Just,
that as
I,
well.
It's just I'm very afraid of them again maintaining the premise, but I liked it.
Oh
it's
yeah,
just a lot of times they make things on Apple TV where I'm like, that probably should have been a movie. Like what? It, okay,
big yeah. time, big time. And I always want it to have more teeth. One of my knocks against Apple TV is that everything is pretty much PG-13.
Yes.
And I don't love that.
It is. You do kind of notice that, especially like on shows like For All Mankind and stuff. And you're kind of like, why is this like sex scene? Like they move away as the couple kisses under the moonlight. And it's like, okay. I think their most sexual show is like the morning show. And it's like, oh, they like John Hamm and Jennifer Aniston kissed. Oh,
gross. What?
Oh, they kissed.
No.
Oh my goodness. And then we see them move towards a bed and the camera cuts away.
Oh my God. That's absurd.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I feel like we've gone through so many shows.
Can I shout out, because I know we got away from it
go.
A little bit. Can I shout out one more half hour? And again, I know for sure we talked about this last time in the middle of the year when we spoke. But I feel like another show that I thought for sure would be on everybody's list and hyped beyond because of its how great I thought this show was. And it is the perfect, to me, illustration of what I'm talking about is a comedic style that I or a show type that I love, which is a comedy show that is so funny, but then also can on a dime turn and break your heart. Ooh. And that is The Other Two.
Yes. Yes.
The Other Two's
final season.
The Other Two's season, another show that is done. I thought was exceptional. Yeah. You know, I thought where they took Drew Tarver's character, Carrie, I thought was absolutely wild and fascinating and hyperbolically insane and so funny as a result, but then so sad.
Just perfect.
Too.
Everywhere the season goes, because I didn't know where they would head. I just kind of was like, obviously it'll all explode. And instead, it just wrapped up so perfectly.
Yeah.
Every joke hit, everything with Molly Shannon's character, Pam. Some of my favorite just storytelling on TV last year.
Oh, I thought, and everything that the Brooke character, Helene York's character, goes through. Again, it's so absurd and goofball, all the stuff about doing charity work and versus being in the industry and so forth. And there's so much silliness and so much wildness. But then the absolutely devastating emotional stuff arc that her character goes through over the course of the season, romantically. And then the stuff that I've gone back to and talked about with people over the year because it has felt like so prescient and on topic is all the stuff about her dating billionaires and how the billionaires all turn into these crazy weirdos who, once they hit $1 billion, they turn into a Bezos, Elon Musk. They turn, somehow making you a billionaire turns you into a weirdo who is like obsessed with going to space and obsessed.
That was one of my favorite bits when she's just in space and is like, I'm
so
out.
So fun. Yes. One of the characters in the show, a show that regularly featured like heartbreaking emotional moments, one of the characters just goes to space.
Yeah, just goes to space and then it just moves on.
So that's also how silly it is.
Yeah, and it's again one of those perfect ones where I think Max just didn't know what they had and
it's
gone along with Southside.
Bummer. A real bummer. Yeah. Southside is maybe my most heartbreaking cancellation. Yeah. The Southside and The Other Two, I think, could have gone on longer.
Absolutely.
Had more to do. And were both, I felt like, just hitting their stride.
Yeah, they could have saved the Comedy Central Network. And And now it's like, what do they even have over there?
Both of those, plus Digman, you know, these are all Comedy Central shows. That's a Friday night lineup.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bunch of shows that would exist on network, could exist on network television and thrive.
And I think I've been talking to a lot of just up and coming comics about this, about how you used to dream of getting that weird Comedy Central show, like being in their lineup, and how that was such a pathway to, you know, building yourself as a comic and getting on TV and growing to the next level. And now that doesn't exist. There's no...
Well, it's even... Yeah. Well, I think... And that's, I think, probably for young stand-ups now coming up for you, that is the pathway. And I will lament the pathway that existed concurrent to that for my generation, which was Adult Swim. You know, Adult Swim was the place that in the, you know, the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, where you could go to make weird stuff, weird, funny stuff that was 12 minutes long, you know, that would be late at night or whatever, but you could do it. They would give you some money to make something funny and weird. And that was a step in getting from on stage at UCB, for example, to being on TV or to being on like network TV or being on a real show. Oftentimes the middle steps were, you know, exactly to your point, a weird Comedy Central show, a weird Adult Swim show. Having the access to those platforms, those places, those networks that would let you do something that was a little bit more maybe like a sketch show that you had done on stage, but is for television.
Yeah.
But isn't like a network sitcom.
Yeah, isn't a sitcom, you know? That like just weird in-between thing, and then you could leverage that into getting like a character part in some sitcom.
You could do Children's Hospital. You could make, you know, you could make shows that were strange, you know, or specials. you know, specials that were weird.
Yeah, just weird one-off shows, and not anymore. Now it's I mean, yeah,
doesn't exist.
It's not really Adult Swim now. It's Adult Swim owned by that, Max Discovery, yeah. And
that whole middle step, that like that whole area is gone. You know, like, and I guess maybe somebody might come on and say, "Oh, it's not gone. It's just migrated to YouTube."
Now I guess it's TikTok.
TikTok, exactly.
Now you want to get on TV, maybe, you got to do a crowd work TikTok.
Maybe people would say, yeah, exactly. People would say, oh, instead of young comics getting a strange sketch show or weird vibey show on Adult Swim or Comedy Central, they are doing front-facing TikTok. That's the middle step now.
And I can't but do that, it.
I don't want that. I don't want that.
I don't like it. It's so hard to edit videos.
I agree. I'm too old for this shit.
Okay, I do stand up. Put me in. I do that. I write. Let's just maybe let me do it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Let me tell stories.
Exactly.
What do you got?
I mean, we've gone through so many lists where we've been going 2 hours.
Have we? Okay. I have a couple more.
You shout out yours. I hit Platonic. I hit that. I was going to do Unstable on Netflix.
I don't know what that is.
It's a new Rob Lowe show with his son, John Lowe.
I do know what it is. I didn't know that's the title. I saw,
It's really good. It was just one of those delightful sitcoms where, again, I was like, this would have been a hit on an NBC. It did get renewed, so I'm pretty excited we're getting new episodes. And then I also wanted to shout out Koala Man, an animated show I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
That I loved. It came out January of last year. And
I watched some of that. I only watched some
of it. It's one that takes a little time once you like kind of get the tone of how weird it's going to be.
Okay.
It's like,
yep.
Oh, he really is a superhero with no powers. And like, okay.
Funny.
And then, I feel like there was another one I had and it just blanked on me. So
I will shout out three connected shows. Mm-hmm. I am one of which, full disclosure, I am on. Three Star Trek shows. So the show that I'm on is called Star Trek Prodigy, and it's a young, it's an animated show. It's animated young adventure show. So it's aimed at kind of the Avatar The Last Airbender crowd. And it's basically a group, what if a group of teenagers in a kind of slave labor colony extricate themselves, escape, steal a space, Federation spaceship, and start flying around pretending like they're part of Starfleet.
Yeah.
And then what happens? And there's a hologram version of Janeway, one of the captains from the previous Star Trek show. And then it's just otherwise young kid adventure. And it's awesome. It's so phenomenal. It's great, big, epic space storytelling. It's a blast.
Jamie Another Loftus show. Yeah, go ahead. For it.
That might be right. Yeah.
I know she was that like promoting the episode she did. And I watched that one.
Oh,
and
great.
It was incredible.
It's a terrific show. It's got great people in the cast. It's got a tremendous amount of interconnectedness to all the Star Trek properties, to all the characters, all the lore, all the stuff. And it's great. I love it. It's like really wonderful stuff. And it has just come on Netflix. It was only available on Paramount Plus.
Finally, which was difficult.
So, and it was a real difficult to find an audience. So it's now on Netflix and I cannot recommend it enough. It's dynamite. And then the other two I will recommend, which do get a lot more notice. Like I would say Prodigy is the underrated Star Trek of the Star Treks that I'm going to mention, but Strange New Worlds, the live action new Star Trek series that just had season 2 come out this year that a lot of people heard about because there was a musical episode where they all get infected with something that makes them start singing, or there was an episode that was a crossover episode with one of my favorite shows, comedy shows of the year, which is the animated Star Trek show Lower Decks.
Yes.
So there's a crossover where Jack Quaid and Tawny Newsom's characters from the animated series are sucked through a portal and land in the live action series Strange New Worlds. And they are from Strange New Worlds' future.
Okay.
So they know They know everything that's happening to the characters in Strange New Worlds right now because it's their history.
Okay, see, I have to watch this because I did do Lower Decks, so...
Oh, it's fucking awesome. It's awesome. Strange New Worlds is fantastic. Case of the week, monster of the week kind of storytelling for in Star Trek, but big scale and scope. It's great actors. It's a blast. And then Lower Decks is the animated, you know, what if it's a workplace comedy on a Federation starship. And it's hilarious. Like and again, I want to urge people because I find Star Trek can be one of those like, I'm not into Star Trek. You can get
it's too much. I don't know where to start.
It's too much. I don't know the lore. I don't know the history. All of these shows I've mentioned, you can watch from episode one and not worry about
it. Yeah, I just jumped in on Lower Decks. I was like, let's go.
Exactly. You don't have to have watched William Shatner or Picard or, you know, Next Generation meaning or anything like that. You can just watch the shows. And Lower Decks is a blast. Anyway, I wanted to shout out all of those. I wanted to shout out, I've got an oldies section. Not oldies, but just shows that are not from this year. Although one of them had episodes this year. But I'm, as I said, deep into The Good Wife. I've also started and have already gotten like, what I don't know, a million seasons into Doctor Who.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's one of those ones. Okay, that is one where I'm like, it's too much. I don't even know where to begin with this.
And then I've spent years with people saying, you know what? I think you'd like Doctor Who. Based on the stuff you like, you'd like Doctor Who.
And I was like, that's...
And I've been like, it's too much.
It's like
too much.
There's
too much
of it. Or something.
Right. So, but what I did was I started from, there's a modern era of Doctor Who that starts with Christopher Eccleston. And so there's only like 10 seasons of it.
Okay.
And that, starting there, and it's this era of... Stephen Moffat, Russell T. Davies, these are the showrunners who are, you know, who've done a lot of, who did Sherlock and who did Jekyll and a bunch of other great British shows of the last 15, 20 years. They are the primary showrunners over these seasons. And these are the ones that include David Tennant as the Doctor, Matt Smith as the Doctor, Peter Capaldi. These are all incredible seasons of wonderful sci-fi adventure storytelling. And what you realize in watching it is just how much of modern television is stealing from this show.
Yeah. You know? It seems like every writer I know watches Doctor Who and I'm like, it's so much.
Yeah. It's fun as hell. And like a lot of these other shows, it's fun and I'm never worried. Like, oh no, my beloved favorite character, they just killed. Like it feels safe in that way that I'm just watching the fun of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's never gonna rug pull you and be like, actually, now everything you care about, it's all different. And so it's like,
I don't need that. Yeah.
So yeah, I love it. It's great. Doctor Who. And then the other show that I'm gonna mention that's an oldie that has never been available for streaming until this year. And I was so certain that the world was going to catch fire and that TikTok would be awash in young people being like, I found this show and it's incredible, blah, blah, blah. And it has landed with, I think, a thud. I don't know. But Moonlighting.
Yeah.
The incredible Bruce Willis, Cybill Shepherd. Screwball comedy, detective show from the 1980s. One of the most original, exciting, interesting, genre-defining, genre-like mixing up, like meta commentary. Like they're doing stuff on the show.
It's a good show.
When you watch it, you're like, I can't believe they let them do this in 1986.
I watched it forever ago, probably when I was in college. A friend had it on DVD, and I feel like it's one of those shows that people ignore it now because people were so kind of disappointed by the ending, so people just write it off.
Yeah, very
much. No, it was people were disappointed, but we loved it. Everyone loved it.
I think that's part of it, and it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast about this year, a big reason why Moonlighting was unable to be released on streaming, it's never been on streaming, was because of music licensing. And there was this great, this year also, after many, 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 many years of not being available streaming in any way, shape, or form, also because of music licensing, the De La Soul records are all now finally available to stream. Okay? Yeah. And there was this great, it was maybe an NPR story or a podcast I was listening to that was talking about one of the great heartbreaks was that an entire generation of people have not been influenced by these genre-defining yeah. albums simply because they've not been able to get
on
access
a streaming
to
platform.
Them.
Yeah,
they've not, by not being able to have them for these years of streaming, they've fallen out of the yeah. zeitgeist. They've fallen out, so people don't know that they're being influenced by De La Soul because they don't know De La
yeah.
Soul. Because they can't call it up on their phone, and they are a generation that is post-physical
yeah.
media.
And so to them, you know? It just doesn't exist, and they don't have, like, the VH1 I Love the 2000s, 90s shows where people are
exactly.
like, here's why De La Soul mattered.
Exactly, exactly. And they don't have, the access to hear De La Soul and see De La Soul's, there is still such a appetite for their, contemporary bands, Tribe Called Quest being like, one of the most relevant, still culturally incredibly relevant band, Tribe Called Quest. De La Soul is question marks for young people, I'm saying.
Yeah.
For young people. They don't know it. And now, oh my God, it's now all these people are discovering all this music. Isn't that amazing? Moonlighting, to me, very similar. Nobody knows that they are influenced by or should be feeling influenced
yeah.
by a show that is so totemic in how big it was and how genre-defining it was, but it doesn't exist on their... Nobody knows yeah. about it. So it's a zero.
Yeah,
for
they're
people.
Really just
and
like,
that
I
is
know, like I there was so I saw a tweet or something that I was like, I didn't know Bruce Willis did TV, and I was like, yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yeah. That's how he gets to yeah. Die Hard. You don't get John McClane without David Addison.
Exactly.
Full yeah. stop.
The impact of TV.
So I cannot recommend Moonlighting enough. It really is just phenomenal television. TV.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
TV, I say.
And I will shout out, there's two other shows that I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, and forgive me if people are going to be annoying about this, but the two shows that remain unreleased on streaming, I believe still because of music, are 30-something
yeah.
and My So-Called yeah. Life.
And
both of those are incredible.
I believe so. I do think they said something about My So-Called Life getting a streaming release,
oh.
but it's going to have the music
great.
Edited, so it won't have the original songs.
Oh,
which,
that
yeah, kind of sucks. Which they also did with Living
that
Single
sucks.
When it finally came to Hulu. A lot of the music was replaced.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because they just didn't yeah. have the rights. So,
yeah.
I'm like,
it's such
yeah,
a bummer.
It's a bummer.
It's such a bummer that that's... So that's the thing that's
yeah, and they
up
also
so
did
many...
that with Daria. They put in like all the music's different, and it's like that one. I'm like, you can
oh, really?
Tell, like it's it was an MTV show. It's supposed to have the
yeah.
Music
it, they
the
were
time.
Comment yeah,
and instead
exactly.
they just like replaced it with like kind of Netflix elevator music.
Ridiculous, yeah,
yeah,
absurd. But Moonlighting, I can't recommend enough. It's so funny, but you are absolutely right. it is a show that is so electric and so incredible in its initial seasons. And then due to circumstances that if you ever want to read what happens to the show are fascinating.
Yeah, the behind the scenes.
It really falls
apart.
Behind
the scenes is very interesting. And
someday someone will write a great book about
that
show.
Well, someone's going to have to make a two-part TikTok if they want the kids to know about it. So
exactly. But I can't recommend it enough. And can I recommend one last thing? Because I'm going to recommend a show that is only available on, well, here on YouTube. But it's a British panel show called Taskmaster.
Oh,
do you know the show?
Yeah.
It is. It's a comedian's competition panel show where, but it's just a, it feels to me, the best way I can explain it is, it feels to me like almost the panel game show element is kind of pointless. It's not very competitive. The point is to get like the five panelists and the two hosts who are all comedians just doing bits. And so the show thrives in how funny the cast is and how mostly they're just roasting each other for the sets of circumstances that they find themselves in.
I've heard about this show and I'm like, I need to watch this. And also I'd be terrified to be on it.
It's incredible. It's so funny. It's so silly and stupid. It's on, they have their own YouTube channel. All the episodes are up, but they also do fantastic, like 10 minute compilation of, here's a bunch of, you know, a bunch of tasks where the contestants broke the rules. And it's just funny, 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 funny. Like where they'll compilations of bits from different seasons. That's a good way to get into it if you want. But then they have full episodes are all on YouTube. I can't recommend enough starting with season 5, which is a phenomenal season, mostly because some great British comedians, Aisling B and Nish Kumar in that season. But they've had James Acaster and Ed Gamble have been on previous seasons. Like they've got, it's great. It's Noel Fielding's in a season. They've got great people. They all, it's fun because they're all part of the same scene, it feels like. So they all know each other and are busting balls and roasting each other. And it's, so that part of it is very fun.
I feel
fun.
Like in America, they always try to make shows like this where they're like, oh, see the comics in the green room, just roasting each other and chilling. And it never really feels right. It's always like,
no. And I thought about it and it's like, I also feel like Americans would be almost too competitive. They would focus on winning because there is a points, you know, kind of element to it. But it's clear nobody cares about, or every once in a while, there'll be a person in a season who wants to win. And then they're making fun of them for that, which is funny.
Yeah,
It's great.
I
loved it. And I'm realizing, I'm realizing a tremendous amount of my list is British for some reason. Not sure why.
Yeah, you're watching all the British shows. Do you have BritBox?
You're
streaming on BritBox?
Oh, I'm all about BritBox. don't get me started. BritBox is where I watched Why Didn't They Ask Evans? The Agatha Christie adaptation that Hugh Laurie made, which was terrific. You know what else? I'll shout out one more thing, but it's a movie. But I want to shout out this two movies because they're both British, but they're both small, and I want them to find an audience.
Yeah.
They are Polite Society. The Nita Manzur movie, the woman who made We Are Lady Parts. Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah, loved We Are Lady Parts. So sad we didn't get
more of
it.
Polite Society is an incredible movie that the same writer-director made this past year that is, I think, should be on everybody's list.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's absolutely fantastic. You gotta watch Polite Society. And then the other one is the British rom-com Rye Lane.
Oh, I did see Rye Lane and I loved it. I loved Rye Lane.
Like we were talking earlier about like, boy, wouldn't it be great? We've abandoned rom-coms and we've lost that. We've lost if we have a rom-com now, it's some high concept one. Like what if at the wedding terrorists attack?
Yeah.
You know, or what if at the wedding, you know, or what if at this crazy thing happened or we were pushed through
or
a vortex
in space
or whatever.
And they fall in love on the space station.
This is just what if young people fell for each other and what would that look like now? You know, not a throwback, but just like here's a great like character-based slice of life rom-com.
That's
Just yeah, great.
That's what the people need. Okay. That's what they want to watch. That's what we want to watch. Stop with the high concept. Just give me a rom-com.
Yeah.
I mean,
just give me people. Just let me watch
and
people.
Yeah, I think we're losing that kind of show. Starstruck is ending. They just announced that the next season is sort of on Max. Another underrated show that.
Oh, I don't know that.
It's so, so good, especially if you love Starstruck, if you loved I Hate Susie, which was also on Max.
Yes,
if you liked those shows,
yeah.
you will love sort of.
Billy Piper.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
From Doctor Who. Rose.
From Doctor
Rose
Who.
From Doctor Who.
I was obsessed with I Hate Susie. And this is kind of the
it's
same
great.
Vein. It is this like gender nonconforming person who's trying to like get their family to accept them, who's like Indian and more conservative. And then at the same time, they're like having an affair with the like wife of the family they nanny, and it just like spirals.
Wow.
But it's also a comedy. I mean, it's like one of those kind of dramedies, but it just is so special. And I feel like I May Destroy You kind of ushered in this era of like Max shows, and now they're all ending.
Yep.
But yeah, it was beautiful for a moment there. We got a beautiful era of TV.
Sort of, and you're saying sort of is done
the
now?
The third season is going to start on January 17th, I believe, and that's...
Oh, okay,
that's
so there is more.
But that's
more
the
to
last
come.
Season.
Okay,
they
great.
They announced it'll be its final season, so...
Great.
Yeah, so
incredible. I'll ask you this. Did you watch the Wayne Shorter documentary?
No. Did I? No.
You gotta. It's called Zero Gravity. There's 3 episodes of it. It is, I think it's on Amazon?
I don't
remember.
Want to
it's
tell
me.
It's an ode to jazz legend Wayne Shorter.
Zero Gravity. Ooh. It's from a little while ago, but it's phenomenal.
I need a good documentary that's not about murder, so.
Oh, this is a great one. I have a couple, actually. I didn't put many documentaries on my list. This is what this would be
Prime,
one of them, though.
It's on
Prime. That's what it is. It's called Zero Gravity. It's Wayne Shorter, you know, incredible saxophone player, part of the Miles Davis, one of the Miles Davis iterations, part of Weather Report, like an incredible composer. He passed away just last year. So he's had a life, like a prolific life all through the modern era as well, which is part of it. It's absolutely fantastic. And he's just a great storyteller. It's because it's not just a story looking back. He's part of the documentary and is very present and is great.
I will say, I'm trying to think, did I watch many documentaries that weren't about murder? And the list is low for me.
The other one. I'll do another one then, which is, this is a little bit your appetite for its subject matter. For me, this was a no-brainer and I loved it. And it is the, I think there's 4-part documentary series about the making of the movie RoboCop that is called RoboDoc. And it is absolutely batshit insane because it really, the making of that movie was completely bananas. Yeah. And everybody in the documentary cannot wait to tell you how bananas the making of the movie
that's
was.
The kind of energy I love behind the scenes, because otherwise I'm just like, I don't need to hear about some important movie. But
and it's like the moment I feel like that has been now, I guess, passed around on the internet a bunch is Peter Weller, you know, he's a method actor, so we'll only answer to Robo, and he's Robo, he calls himself Robo, other people have to call him Robo. But he's really difficult and he won't come to set. And then this guy, he sees a guy has some Oreos and he keeps saying, Robo wants an Oreo. Robo wants an Oreo. And it's like, there's so many moments that are so bananas and they delight it telling you in a way that it feels like the documentary is from like the 1990s, because people are being so truthful about such crazy
behavior. Which,
doesn't
happen now. Most documentaries now are like,
not at all,
made by the person it's about. And so it's very sanitized.
This is not sanitized. It's nuts. In the best way.
I would watch that one. I guess I did do Dark Side of Comedy, which had its second season.
Ooh,
so
what's
it's
that?
On Vice. Each episode digs into the background of like a famous comic, but... It's really good, and in some of them they have the comic in it. Yeah. So my favorite episode was actually they focused on Carlos Mencia And they really get into how Joe Rogan like destroyed his career. Like,
completely took him apart.
I remember Mind of Mencia, but I really forgot how big he was and how people were like, he's a Hispanic Dave Chappelle. And then that one Joe Rogan YouTube thing happened and it ruined him.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in it and he's very like, has come to terms with a lot of it, but you can also see like a lot of the regret and just pain. And they also did the woman who was in Grace Under Fire, Rhett Butler. She's in her episode and it's like it's just unflinching look at like how the show kind of ruined her and drugs and addiction. And then there's some lighter ones like they do Gilda Radner. There's a Maria Bamford episode.
I will shout out just because you mentioned it. Maria's new special local act is
very, very funny. So good.
Very funny. And, you know,
she did put out an amazing memoir last year. That was...
I listened to the audiobook.
That was partially edited by yours truly. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Well, she shouts me out in the beginning because she's the nicest person in the world.
Oh,
and
that's
in the book,
awesome.
I was like, oh, I thought, you know, maybe in the thank yous
she's
or something.
She's the best.
No, she's literally a paragraph where she's like, and I hired this girl, Ashley Ray Harris. And I was like, what? This is wild. So
I love her. She's wonderful. And I loved that special. And her reading the audiobook was fantastic.
Just fantastic. And she just was in Night Court. She was really good in. And she's in Human Resource.
Oh, was she? Yeah, I didn't see that.
She was in Night Court playing like a woman who loses her mind and thinks she's a ghost. And obviously it was very funny.
Yeah.
And then she also was in Not Dead Yet, which I mentioned, and Animal Control, which
she does voices on Big Mouth and
Human
another
Resources,
show, and Housebroken, which is another show that I'm on,
which also good. And I hope we get more of it. But
I know. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. But Human Resources had an amazing final season.
Great. Great season.
So sad it's not coming back.
I know. It's a real bummer. That's a heartbreak because I thought that show was a blast.
I thought it was going to like run as long as Big Mouth. I was like, it makes total sense. Why would you cancel this? But whatever. Netflix.
And it's such a good way to use guest voices as well.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah. You were great in this last season.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And there was a Bosch reference that made me think of you in the last season.
Always.
I was like,
always.
This is us.
Although,
when you're explaining Bosch to me and I'm like, okay.
Oh, man. I would love to. This season of Bosch Legacy was so nuts that I genuinely wish I could give you a feed of me just watching Bosch. Cause I'm like, oh, come on. Oh, Bosch. You know, I'm
would
so
have watched
vocal.
That.
I'm so vocal in reacting to what's going on. That and Reacher. I'm just like, classic Reacher.
Classic Reacher.
Fucking Bosch. it's the best. It's the best. I'm just now quickly looking through my master list of stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, is there anything?
You know.
Did
you ever try, I know I recommended it the last time, I think. Did you ever try Unicorn Warriors Eternal?
I did, actually.
Oh, good.
I did, and I really liked it. And then I was like watching one episode and only half paying attention. I was like, I have to do this when I'm actually watching. It's
for
not
sure.
A show you can just
it's
like.
It's difficult.
Kind of
you can't
on.
Half. Yes. Yeah. You can't half pay attention.
And I really liked it. So I've been watching it slowly. I watched like an episode a week, and it's the
Perfect.
Best time. It's
okay,
like
great.
When I'm like done
I love
with work,
that.
I put it on. I have been loving it.
And then I will shout out Gendy's other show, Primal.
Yes.
That I think is just visually stunning.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful example of, you know, visual animated storytelling. I think it's just unparalleled.
Yeah. Like, it's great. A lot of animated
stuff.
I could keep going. I literally was like, I have a few more that I think I didn't mention, but
yeah.
I mean, we've been going for almost 2 hours now.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, three right. out.
Oh, no. Oh, geez. Okay.
This is enough homework for all of you listeners out there. We've given you every show you need to watch that I know you didn't because no one talked about these shows. So that's your homework. Watch all of these. Also, watch The Curse because we're going to be doing a deep dive episode on...
Are you? Do you have somebody coming
no,
out to
you
talk
wanna
about
it? No, you
want to
do it? You please.
Oh, I can't.
Come on.
I'm not... I can't watch that much of The Curse in preparation in a short period of time.
Yeah.
Without I fear losing.
Oh, I want to know what you think of the finale. So.
Oh, I'll for sure let you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'll for sure. We can talk about it offline. But yeah. Oh no. This is.
We have to break it down for everybody.
Yeah.
Because the theater I watched in it, just absolute silence and people walking out and just going, like, what? That's it? And just, so good. So make sure you're ready for that.
Incredible. Yeah,
TV Club. And Jason, anything you want to plug? Any shows coming up?
You know, you very generously mentioned Invincible, which I'm I play a voice on or I voice a part on, which I think is absolutely one of the best shows going. My participation accepted. I think it would be it would be on my top list of shows if I wasn't on it. And then I'll also shout out Percy Jackson, the new live action Percy Jackson.
Yes, the new live action Percy. The kids love you.
Yep.
They are obsessed with you on Twitter.
It's pretty funny.
They are
I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. I'm
hearing from it.
I'm too old for Percy Jackson. I was like a little older than when that all came out, but the kids on Twitter, oh my goodness, they love the show and really love you. You're like,
you're
a meme or something.
Wild.
I don't really understand it, but
I'm hearing from everybody I know who has like a 13.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, oh my God, I just got one last night. That just all caps from the woman I know who's like, wait a minute, you're in Percy Jackson? My kid is freaking out. You're Dionysus. This is perfect. Like everybody is like loving. I'm hearing from everybody who's got kids.
My nephew texted me, who never cares about me, and he was like, did you know you had him on your show? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
He's like, did you know? Like, wow. And I was like, I'm glad you
It's
you
great. And here's the deal. The show's fucking great.
Yeah.
The show is a blast. Another coming of age, you know, young people on the call to adventure. Feels very Tolkien, very Harry Potter, very those kind of stories about a found family of people who are have to undergo a quest in order to avert a disaster and the forces that are working against them and the access they now have to a magical world, except instead of magic or something like that, for this series, it is the pantheon of
the Greek gods. I'm obsessed with that kind of stuff. I took ancient Greek and Latin. I love those kinds of stories.
I love it. It's great. It's really fun. And it's, you know, the young actors are fantastic and it looks incredible.
And I think it like made some racists mad because they made a character black or something. So I love watching those kind of shows.
I'm sure. Yeah,
I love
I'm
supporting
sure.
that. So.
Ugh, Jesus Christ.
So there you go. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it. That's it. Them's the shows.
So
those are my plugs.
Yeah.
That's the things. But I will say, those are great shows, even though I'm on. I'm shouting them out, but because I think they're also fantastic shows.
There's so many Stan accounts for your character on Percy Jackson on Twitter.
Really?
Great. People are watching. They're watching
that
for you.
Makes me
the
happy.
Kids, they're obsessed. There's probably whole fan cams of you in that show.
Oh, brother. I'm not even sure what a fan cam is, but
it's
sounds
kind of like a montage, but on TikTok.
Oh,
it's
I
like
get
a lot
it.
Of
oh, so
slow clips with like music, but it's not like set. It's like a rap song. It'll be like, she's a bad bitch and she knows what you, but it'll just be like you like walking.
Wait, so
I'll send
not
you.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I thought it was like, oh, here are the best lines cut
oh,
together.
Oh, no, like totally. No, none of your voice. It's just like you like
funny.
Flipping your hair and it'll be like the song,
oh
like a Meg Thee Stallion
it.
Song where it's like, she's that girl and she's that bitch. And it's just like,
they're
incredible.
Oh, I love it.
Jason, thank you so much
what
for joining me.
What a delight.
Me. This was
always,
best.
Always. I love it.
I mean,
I loved it as I have every other time.
Thank you. And we set the
And now I
up.
Know which cult shows to watch and which I'm okay to not.
Yeah, yeah.
I needed this safe space to discuss.
Like I said, Mother God, Love Has Won, the Cult of Mother God. A+. Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the
That's
one.
That's the one.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us. TV Club, thank you for listening over all of this, which I think will probably be cut into parts or something. But thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode. episode, another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.